far from the beaten path lies a friendly little inn.
Girl, you better come get your critter before I chop his head off.
Where folks come from miles around.
Hold on!
It's so sad to be alone. Help me make it through the night.
To rest, relax, and make new friends.
My name's Al.
I'm Tanya.
I'm Bill McWillie.
Marvin Crenshaw.
This is my cousin, Chrissy.
Your relative?
Cousin.
Are you okay in there, Marvin?
Sorry.
Crenshaw.
Edwin.
Tell your little wife I'll have a surprise for her.
Where no one ever complains.
We got to go down there after her.
We have to.
Can I ask you a lesson, crazy white woman?
No way, Jose.
Where people are dying to get a reservation.
Hello? Hello?
And any moment might be checkout time.
I'm getting out of here.
Is this any way to run a motel? You bet your life it is. Mountaintop Motel Massacre.
Something strange in your neighborhood. Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters!
There's something weird and it don't look good. Who you gonna call?
Ghostbusters!
I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
Welcome to our very spooky, terrifying, horrific edition of the Bad Movie Night podcast. I am Aaron Vaquero.
I am Jeffrey Tafaro.
And we are missing our third amigo, musketeer, whatever.
Our Triforce.
Yeah, the completion of the trifecta. Nosley is actually ill, so she will not be joining us for this week's podcast. But so, you know, it's just Jeff and I, and so since there's no ladies around, we've decided not to wear any pants.
Our cocks are out.
It's just straight penis hanging out. So this could get weird. We're just saying by the end of this podcast, this could get very, very weird.
A little bit.
So welcome, and this is episode 5 of the podcast. This is our Halloween edition, our unofficial Halloween edition, but we will be reviewing Mountaintop Motel Massacre. And the only thing I'll say about it before we get into the review is that alliteration is the most clever part of the entire movie,
I think
the alliteration in the title. So,
yeah.
It's absolutely brutally fucking terrible.
I don't think there's one redeeming quality at this
point. I think it's actually going to be painful to talk about it for an elongated period of time. So. But first things first, ways to contact us. You can email us at podcast@badmovienight.com, NITE.com. You can follow us on Twitter at badmovienight.com. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/badmovienight.com. And you can always find all the news and information and reviews of bad movies at badmovienight.com. And then moving right along into our results for the most recent battle of the Bad Movie Night Fantasy League, which the last battle was the annoying sidekick.
Mm-hmm.
And refresh everyone's memory, it was I had Bastion from Neverending Story. Jeff had
Margo
from Hackers.
What did Nosley have?
And Nosley had Rob Schneider's character.
That's
from
right,
Judge
Fergie
Dredd.
Ferguson.
Fergie Ferguson.
That's right, Fergie Ferguson.
And I am bitterly pleased to announce that Jeff is the winner.
Well,
and
I had to get one of them. I had to get one win, you know.
So
can't go out a chump.
So yeah, it's Margo from Lorraine Bracco's character from Hackers, who is very, very annoying.
The most annoying person.
And our audience shared in your opinion. So
perfect.
Well played, sir.
Thank you, audience members.
our next battle is going to be the worst talking animal in a movie. Because everyone knows that there's pretty much nothing worse than when you have a movie centered around a talking animal. Is there a good talking animal movie you can think of? Like off the top of your head.
A good talking animal.
And I don't
animal.
Mean like E.T. where he says about, like phone home. I mean like straight
well,
talking with the human
but do you
voice
mean,
throughout
do
the
you
whole
mean,
movie.
Do you mean like the humans know he's talking Because there was that Cats and Dogs movie, which wasn't terrible. But I don't think the kid, like, they didn't
that
talk
movie
to humans.
Wasn't terrible?
Well, I mean, terrible in the
that
grand
scheme. That movie had to be terrible.
At least it knew what it was, yeah. You know what I mean? It was just a Cats. It was actually kind of funny.
Oh. Right.
But it wasn't, like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. There's a thing where it's like, I think talking animal, at least what we have, is like, they interact with humans and they talk. You know what
yes.
I mean?
It's
a different breed of movie, I think. That'd be a separate, a subgenre. I think we should break it down.
A subgenre.
Because it'd be talking animals to humans and then just animals who communicate with each other, which
just,
is separate.
You just blew my mind right there, Jeff.
Well,
I'm sure it won't be the last time during the podcast. Did I mention that we're not wearing pants? Because we're not wearing pants. So, all right. So these are talking animals that interact with humans.
Yes.
Thank you. In our choices. So Nosley, who cannot be with us tonight because she's on her deathbed, is her choice was Theodore Rex. From the self-titled film Theodore Rex, which, for those of you who haven't had a chance to see it yet, it's one of Whoopi Goldberg's little lesser-known films. I think it came out right around the craze of dinosaurs at ABC show, because everything about the Theodore Rex costume is very similar to – he looks very similar to the dad in that dinosaur show.
I wonder if this is on streaming Netflix. I know they just added dinosaurs, the whole series to streaming Netflix.
I bet. If it's even out on DVD, because I think when we watched it for Bad Movie Night years ago, I think we watched a VHS copy.
Oh, man.
We couldn't find
high
it
high quality.
DVD. Yeah. And then Jeff, yours was Quato.
Yeah.
Quato from Total Recall.
Mm-hmm.
And I went ahead and chose Howard from Howard the Duck. And so, yes, please go to badmovienight.com and vote in the poll for who you think should win the battle number 4 of the worst talking animal. before we move on, I forgot to see – Jeff, how you doing? How's everything going in life?
Oh, man. I'm going deep. Life is fine.
Yeah?
I'm good. Yeah.
I think it's important. You know, we get all caught up in talking about bad movies, but – we never really see what's going on with one another and, you know, check in each other's lives. So, and I'm sure that's really what our listeners want to hear is, you know, what's going on in our personal lives. But no, have you seen any bad movies aside from the aforementioned Mountaintop Motel Massacre, which we will be reviewing shortly? Have you seen anything else? Any good movies you've seen?
I haven't seen it. The last movie I saw was Looper.
Oh. So,
and unfortunately,
we're both too busy working.
That was very good, yeah.
I did. I saw – my wife and I went and saw Bernie –
Which was really good.
It was really good. It's a Jack Black movie, and it's a dark comedy about this small Texas town funeral home director who kind of befriends this old lady.
Yeah.
And she's this kind of old spinster who has an immeasurable amount of wealth that she just takes him traveling and whatnot. And then he eventually kills her, and it's the kind of like trial as to, but he's like the sweetest man ever. So. And she's the crabbiest old bitch ever. So you kind of are on his side, even though you see him kill this woman. It was a really like quirky, funny. Richard Linklater directed it.
Oh, nice.
And he wrote it as well, also. So, and we got to see a Q&A with Jack Black and Richard Linklater. Not as interesting as you would think. They were actually both kind of boring. But
I think a Scanner Darkly may be a bad movie night.
Yeah.
Potential.
Yeah, it's disappointing, because I really liked Waking Life, which was in that same kind of,
and the cel-shaded type.
Yeah, whatever they do where they animate the film.
Yeah, the rotoscoping or whatever it
is. Right. Scanner Darkly was, being on a Philip K. Dick book, you thought it would have been good. Although Johnny Mnemonic wasn't good either, and that was based on a Philip K. Dick book. I would recommend seeing Bernie. But yeah, I did catch a little bit of the sci-fi Halloween movie this weekend, which was Rise of the Dead, and that had quite the eclectic cast. It had Danny Trejo, who is no stranger to
that
movie.
This is a new movie?
Yes, this is The Asylum, you know, The Asylum does every schlock movie that comes out these days. The Sci-Fi Channel, you know, has their once a month Saturday night movie. And so for Halloween, it was a zombie movie.
Gotcha.
And so it was the oddest cast because it had Danny Trejo, mm-hmm. Muriel Hemingway.
Wow.
What's
she from?
She was very big in the 80s. Maybe not big.
Not super big.
But she was in like some Woody Allen movies. I mean, she had like credibility in the 80s.
Yeah.
And
she had sway.
And now she's doing Now she's just doing...
There's got to be somebody, some else. Who else? I mean, Trejo can't be anchoring this whole thing.
Who
else is in it?
Who is it? It's Danny Trejo, Mariel Hemingway. I want to say, like, Dave Foley or something.
Of course, yes. Get a Canadian in there. Might as well.
It was, it was pretty...
Like, they shot it in a week and a half?
Yeah. Yeah, it was, you know...
All shot in Glendale.
That's pretty much how the asylum rolls. They just kind of, let's shoot it as quickly as possible for as little money as possible.
Right, yeah.
And, I mean, they must be doing something right, because they keep making them, and they keep, you know, Sci-Fi Channel is all about them, so they must, a lot of people must watch them. Twitter was a buzz when it premiered on Saturday
really?
Night. So.
Twitter was a positive buzz?
Yeah, I mean, people, like, they have cult followings, these sci-fi movies.
Jesus Christ.
So, you know, I'll watch them for sheer entertainment value and how badly they're going to be done. But yeah, so if you get a chance to see Rise of the Dead, I'm sure, knowing Sci-Fi Channel, they're going to be replaying it a lot.
Yeah.
Now, turning to some tragic news. For those of you who don't know, over the weekend, Morgan Freeman passed away. It was a rough week. I cried a lot, I'm not gonna lie. So we kind of wanted to take a minute to kind of do some highlights of his career, because, you know, he was a great actor, but for every great film he did, for every Shawshank, there was a Dreamcatcher. For every
Dreamcatcher.
for every what's another great movie of his?
Million Dollar Baby,
there's a Bucket List. Mm-hmm. He's done his share of stinkers. Mm-hmm. But just to clarify, we realize Morgan Freeman's not really dead. It was really just an internet hoax that was going around.
Somebody needs to keep track of how many different celebrities have died recently. Bill Cosby was recently.
Yes. Who was the other big one? I feel like this is the second time the Morgan Freeman one's
He's probably died a couple times. Bill Cosby's died a couple times. I'm trying to think who else has died a few times.
Yeah, I know. It's definitely a prevalent thing. But, you know, it catches fire in this social media world we live in now that people go crazy. But so we figured it was a good opportunity to do a little IMDb that shit, bro.
Yeah.
And talk a little bit about Morgan Freeman's catalog of work. So what are some of the standouts for you, good or bad?
Without a doubt, good. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Ah, yes. Very nice.
What's his great line? Oh man, I can't remember. He's like, this is in blah, blah, blah. And now I fight with you. It's like, we're brothers.
Robin Hood, I will say the most vivid memory I have about Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves is singing that Brian Adams song by myself in my bedroom.
In fourth grade.
Yeah, multiple times. Yep. And I'm not ashamed to admit that.
No, we all did it.
Yeah, I had it on cassette tape.
So did I. The single. Yep, I had it.
Oh, Jeffrey, we're like kindred spirits. Azim from Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
He fucked shit up in that movie.
Yeah,
he had the big sword, whatever they called, I think it was a scimitar. He fucking killed people. He was the best.
What was his big, like, his big breakout was Lean On Me, I guess, right? 89 looks like. I mean, he did a bunch of stuff before then, but I don't think he really hit mainstream till he did, Lean On Me, and then Driving Miss Daisy after that, which I believe he won the Oscar for. Bonfire of the Vanities, which was a big bomb that was supposed to be a big hit, but turned out to be quite a bad movie. He was on a roll with Power of One, Unforgiven, Shawshank, Outbreak. It's a guilty pleasure movie.
Outbreak was a group effort. It was an ensemble.
Yeah. Outbreak had so much potential, but never really lived up to it for me. But he did do Seven after that, another great movie. Chain Reaction, that's one of his stinkers. Him and Keanu Reeves.
Honestly, it's Kiss the Girls. I fucking hate that movie, Kiss the Girls.
And then he did Hard Rain. Lest us not forget Hard Rain with Christian Slater, which was, what was the premise? It was something about, like, bank robbers or something, right?
I don't even know. Is it Hard Rain?
Yeah, there's an armored truck robbery.
What?
And during this massive flood, during this, you know, massive rainstorm.
That doesn't sound convoluted at all.
Yeah. And and Christian Slater, it was way past Christian Slater's prime, too. It was 1998. So Christian Slater was already on the downslope of his career, for sure.
Yeah.
But Minnie Driver, Randy Quaid somehow made his way in there. A lot of ridiculousness. Oh, and he also was the president in Deep Impact, Morgan Freeman, and possibly an inspiration for Barack Obama getting elected.
Wow.
Was Morgan Freeman being the president?
You think so?
Hey,
couldn't have hurt. I guess. I mean, it couldn't have hurt.
I'm pretty sure he was the first black president.
No, wait.
In a movie or a TV show at that time.
Has he only? Okay, he's played God twice, but I feel like he's played God more than twice. From Evan Almighty and Bruce Almighty and Evan Almighty. But
it's not that common of a role in movies.
But I feel like he just plays God in every role, really.
I mean, I hope that when I die, if there is a God and I go up to meet him, that he is Morgan Freeman. I mean, with that voice. He does narrate that Into the Wormhole.
He narrates everything.
Yeah, well, because he's got the most awesome voice ever.
He narrated Conan the Barbarian. He narrated 30 for 30, the TV series, the episode. Raising the Sun. He just crushes it. When they need a voice, they just come to him.
Yeah, pretty much.
World of Worlds. That movie needed a narrator? What for? It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, but to me,
aliens landed. Like, what the fuck do you need?
The worst credit for Morgan Freeman to me has to be Dreamcatcher, because that is one of the most god-awful movies.
Well, don't jump to conclusions just yet, because he is filming Lego the Piece of Resistance as Vitruvius' voice. I mean, this may not even actually be true, but it says it's filming.
Oh, no. I remember seeing it in an actual...
Well, we talked about it in the first episode.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, that just... You know, I mean, I'm all about it. I'm going to go see it because I love Legos. You know?
You were such a dork.
Oh, yeah, because you never had Legos. You never had every space.
To be honest,
Lego.
I was never a Lego guy.
Really?
I was always a just straight action figure guy.
You a Kinect guy?
No, I never did any. I guess my brain didn't operate like I want to put shit together into contraption.
What did you do?
I just like created worlds with action figures.
Well, yeah,
I just made them, you know, talk and... that was enough for me.
Yeah.
Well, I had Matchbox cars, too, that I
remember. Oh, okay. Yeah, I never did Matchbox cars much. I had Micro Machines. That was it.
Micro Machines, too, yeah.
A little bit.
I had a shit ton of toys as a kid. A lot of Ghostbusters, a lot of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, TMNT I had.
A lot of He-Man.
Uh-huh.
A lot of G.I. Joe.
Transformers,
yeah. Mask. I had all the Mask
everybody,
toys.
Yeah, everybody knows about Mask.
Yeah. Oh, you remember Silverhawks? Is that what they were called?
Silverhawks. Yeah, is that the
thing? They were the super, like, gay-looking, like, space-flying guys. They had...
They
all looked very effeminate, and they had very, like, shiny... outfits, and they had you would open up, and they would have the wingspan underneath there.
What was the action figures like? The three guys that were like, they're like outfits you could like attach things to them. And they went underwater, and they had like basically there was like a blue guy, a yellow guy, and a green guy, and I think they had a show too. But like they could attach things to them, so they could just be like they're kind of like Transformers, but not really
like human being Transformers,
like human beings, and they could attach things and stuff. I don't know, it was pretty sweet.
Yeah, no, I can't think of the name of that, but if anybody listening can, you please email us at podcast@badmovienight.com.
Please do. We don't need to talk about movies. Let's talk about action figures.
But just kind of wrapping up with Morgan Freeman, he has done he's acted or lended his voice to over 100 different things.
And what is your best and worst of it for him?
Well, Dreamcatcher, definitely the worst.
Dreamcatcher's your worst.
Best would probably... I'm such a sucker for Shawshank Redemption. I mean,
yeah.
Shawshank to me is one of those movies that every time it's on cable, I will sit down and watch it and cry every time like a bitch.
But what's the thing about it is like no matter what bad movie he's in, he's not bad. So it's
no, Dreamcatcher he is bad in. He is so over the top and ridiculous. Have you seen Dreamcatcher?
Yes, I seen it one time and that was enough.
You remember he's like the alien, like the soldier, like colonel. Who's working with the aliens or something? And he's flying the plane in during the invasion at the end, and he's just like yeah, he's like a lunatic, and he's lost his mind. And it's so un-Morgan Freeman-esque his performance that it felt so forced and contrived.
Yeah,
that it was it's ridiculous, and it really stuck out. I was like, oh, Morgan, why? Why would you do this? Yeah, so that to me, he is very, very bad in that movie. But everything else he's done has more than made up for it. So please, Morgan Freeman, don't die anytime soon.
Please don't.
Don't let the internet kill you, because we love you and we want you to keep doing more movies than lending your voice to Lego movies. We'd like to see you acting in more movies, but we realize you're getting up there. You're getting up
there.
Well,
hopefully they'll do the reboot of Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, and Azeem will make one final.
Or let's just where's the Azeem spinoff? Like I would watch an Azeem spinoff movie.
I would have definitely watched an Azeem.
They might have missed their window of opportunity though. Now it's
never say never because
that's true. Because they're just rebooting old franchises, you know, and remaking.
They have the newest Die Hard coming out.
Oh, yeah. I feel like that's a whole separate episode discussing.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just silly.
I will say this. When I watch the trailer, why does John McClane's son look older than he does? Like, there's something wrong with that casting choice. I mean, I get Bruce Willis, very good-looking man for his age. Like,
yeah, he's a handsome devil.
He's kept himself in good shape. Very tight body.
Yeah.
Did I mention we're not wearing pants right now? He's probably sold his soul to the devil to kind of keep his youthful appearance. His son looks just like some crotchety, aging, middle-aged man. And it's like, that's not John McClane's son. Come on.
A trailer is supposed to give you a little insight into the film. And still, after watching the teaser and then the real one, I still don't understand why. I mean, unless John McClane's son is like an agent as well. That would kind of be cool, and like he has training too, so he's not just along for the ride, what's his name from the last one?
Justin Long.
It was like, I'm scared. Never mind.
I'm the quintessential nerdy character. Yeah, I can hack computers.
How lucky you met me. Jesus.
Yeah, that was how a franchise can be so good and then so bad is somewhat of a mystery, which kind of is a nice segue into our listener email, which came from Dave in Baton Rouge, who asks...
Dave in Baton Rouge?
Yeah, who knew? We're very big in Louisiana, apparently.
The Cajuns love us.
Very big down in the bayou. He asks what our favorite or our worst horror franchises are. What they are for us. What we think are the worst horror franchises. And since Halloween is this week, that seemed like a good question to address. So, what have it, Jeffrey? What would you say are, you know?
Well, for me, the one that I've hated since its inception, I think, is the Paranormal Activity series.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the first one, I saw half of the second one, and then I was like, I'm good.
Yeah.
I got it. I don't need any more. Yet, they're on four now.
Yeah, four just came out. Yeah.
They're even doing five, regardless of what this does.
Because those movies cost nothing.
Nothing. They shoot them all in just little.
There's no stars in them. There's no, like, I mean, it's all, yeah, it's all shot on basically security camera footage. And it's, you know, there's no overhead in making those movies. So as long as people keep forking over their $20 a piece to go see them.
To watch, like, a sheet move and shit.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck that.
It is. It's very.
I watched the first one and there was creepy moments, but it's.
I actually thought the second one was scarier than the first one.
But it couldn't have been for me. Like, I couldn't have been because I've seen it.
Yeah.
Like, it was just that. I mean, did you saw the first one?
I saw the first one, but I will say that the second one I saw at home by myself.
Well, okay.
So I think it was more an environmental influence as to the reason why.
Why was it creepier for you?
I don't know exactly. To me, the first one felt very kind of a little contrived, but I felt like it just kind of was the typical scares that you would expect in a horror movie.
Yeah.
That I felt like the scares were scarier in the second one. That's, and you can quote me on that. These scares
were
scarier.
The professional term. The scares were scarier.
Yeah, I don't know. Overall, I think a lot of it was that I was by myself. And so, you know, it's rare because seeing horror movies, I've grown up watching horror movies. So I'm very desensitized to most of them.
Yeah.
But occasionally there's a movie that you'll watch that, well, you know, when you go into the bathroom and don't turn on the light yet, it's a little freaky right afterwards. But then it passes, you know, after 15 minutes or so, and you realize, okay, I got to stop being a pussy. And but there was something about that one that stuck with me for that whole evening, and I slept with my nightlight on. I'm not gonna lie. But yeah, that is a it's a franchise that there's no reason to have done more than two tops, but it's
five coming at us, maybe more.
Yeah, for me, without a doubt, the Saw franchise. I really enjoyed the first one.
Yeah.
To me, it was a great idea. It's a great, like, one-off, twisted as shit horror movie idea. But if you're just going to make the same movie over and over again,
we don't need it.
And it's insulting, I think. But who am I to say? Because every one of them has been number one at the box office every time they've come out. But it's insulting to me that they think, okay, well, we can keep the same exact story, but all we have to do is just change the death. Same with the Final Destination franchise.
Right.
Same story, just make different fucked up, twisted death scenes.
Did Carrie Elwes make it through the second or third
Elwes,
movie?
Come on.
Whatever.
Show him a little respect.
He's the dude from The Princess Bride.
Yes, his greatest role. You never saw the first one?
He lives through this first one, doesn't he? Is he the only person to survive?
No, I don't think so.
I thought he was, no?
No, because you remember at the end of the first one, Jigsaw is that body laying on the floor in like the room that they're both chained up in.
Yeah.
Does he live in the first one? He might. Because I think he might kill the other guy to get away. But anyway, the whole twist is that he's the killer who's orchestrated this whole thing.
Yes.
Has been lying dead on the floor the whole time, and he gets up, and it was such a great fucking ending. I was like, oh my God, that was epic. Never saw it coming. But then, you know, by Saw 17, I was kind of over the whole novelty of, you know, rusty metal contraptions over people's heads that are ripping them apart.
And, yeah. But I think that those are franchises that didn't start great. You know what I mean? Like you know, there's people who love them.
I think the first one did. I just think that not every great horror movie needs – and this goes for movies in general. I don't think – every great movie doesn't need to be turned into a franchise.
No.
But then again, I'm not a studio executive. So, I mean, they're in it to make money. So that's why they see, oh, Transformers made gazillion dollars. Let's make six of them. I mean, it makes sense from a business standpoint. But to me, there's some things that, you know, should be left alone that are better standalone movies. I think Saw is one of them. Final Destination. I thought the first Final Destination was a great movie. Great
was
premise.
Good. Two was okay, even.
Two was okay. It, you know, it was kind of.
And I don't.
It was the same story.
I didn't see three. I heard the new one was actually pretty good.
Really? I did not see. I stopped watching them, I think, after whatever one that the main accident happens at, like, a race car track or something.
Oh, no, I didn't.
I was like, oh, okay. They've gone full redneck with, you know, they're at
full
the NASCAR,
redneck.
At the NASCAR track. I'm checked out of this series, but. Yeah, so thank you, Dave, for the question. And please feel free to send in any questions. We will be happy to address them on the air. And before we get into our review, briefly want to touch on our trailer trash segment of the week, which is focused on a haunted house, which sounds a lot scarier than it actually is. This is from the genius minds who brought us Scary Movie. And
so is it produced by the Wayans brothers or no?
I think so. I'm pretty sure. I mean, it's definitely Marlon Wayans definitely is a producer on it. But it's basically a parody of the Paranormal Activity movies, which we were just talking about. Basically, it's a parody of all found footage horror movies.
Yeah.
And, you know, look, by
and large, the idea is going to be better than that movie because.
Right.
From based on the trailer, it's just it seems so schlocky and hokey, and it just looks like dick and fart jokes, but not like well timed.
Yeah, the trailer opens with a fart joke.
Yeah.
The trailer opens with essentially the same opening as Paranormal Activity, or with the creepy voiceover,
like a PG-13, you know.
Yeah, and I mean it's got some talented comedic actors in it. Aside from Marlon Wayans, who obviously likes to do parody movies.
Yeah.
But it's got Nick Swartzen, who I think is one of the funniest people on the face of the earth. David Koechner, who can be funny. David Koechner from Anchorman and Piranha 3DD.
Right.
And he, in small doses, he can be funny. Cedric the Entertainer, very funny stand-up comedian. Not sure how well he transfers to the big screen. but this movie looks just absolutely awful, painfully bad.
Super bad.
And Open Road Films are the ones producing it, but I believe that Marlon Wayans is definitely a writer, if not, I mean, definitely a producer, if not also the writer of the
movie.
He
probably had to dig real deep. I mean, he probably just, I mean, it's like his heart and soul on the page, really. I think we're not going to give, we should give him some credit for.
Yes, he did write the movie. He co-wrote the movie with Rick Alvarez, and he
Rick
did not.
Rick Alvarez, why does that sound familiar?
I'm sure he probably had a hand in the Scary Movie.
Oh yeah.
He did.
There you go.
He had a hand. He's had a hand in every Wayans movie, like White Chicks, another seminal classic.
That's Little Man.
I mean, there comes a point where Wayans brothers, just stop it. Like, you guys got enough money. Stop torturing us with these terrible, terrible parody movies. this trailer is it's insulting as a movie going person who enjoys going to the movies to see that trailer really killed my soul a little bit. So
yeah, it's not like it's 1992 and we don't need scary movies.
The scary movie, and going back to franchises that have more than run its course.
They did four.
I think they did four.
Scream has done what, five movies, and Scary Movie did four.
Yes.
I believe.
Yeah. So there's no need. I mean, I get that you see the found footage thing is all the rage, so now we have to parody it, but it's going to feel so tired, and every joke in the trailer feels so tired.
It's all going to be telegraphed.
I mean, there's a guy in a gimp costume. You're like, really?
Yeah.
I mean, there's the stereotypical black dudes who come in like straight from prison.
They're gangsters.
They're like, we're going to smoke these fools. And it's like,
you can't.
This isn't, I mean, that was funny and Don't Be a Menace to South Central or Drinking Your Juice in the Hood, but that kind of shtick just doesn't fly anymore. But
no,
who am I to say? There's probably going to be an audience for it, and it's probably going to make way more money than it deserves.
Well, we know the budget's low.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. So now we get to our main event of the Halloween episode.
And it's hard. It's hard.
It hurts. It hurts.
You're going to throw up in your mouth.
Yeah, I am. I'm getting a little sick to my stomach. Mountaintop Motel Massacre, right?
Whoa, don't fuck that up. Now we just got to start over. So we can delete the entire podcast and just start from scratch because couldn't get Mountaintop Motel
Massacre. That alliteration, man. It's just too much for me. It's too much of a mouthful. That it's too brilliant of a title that... I'm sorry, I just can't handle it. But
it's okay, you're forgettable.
This is a slasher movie from 1986.
Yes. And if I may read the cover art from IMDb here. Please do not disturb Evelyn. She already is.
and they did already in all capitals, so you know they mean business by that. And it's
just delightful.
The
genre, it's under horror thriller. I'm not sure it can be categorized into either of those.
Well, the problem is it's hard to categorize this movie because there's really no story going on.
There's no backstory. So, well, we got to set it up. So how the film begins is essentially this young girl is in the middle of doing some kind of satanic ritual.
Right.
And her, I assume, grandmother.
I guess.
Comes in. And she's extremely, upset with her, and then she's just like, "You stop this!" And so she's just banging around using her scythe, which is it like a hand? What would you call
it? It's a hand scythe. Well, yeah, it's not like Grim Reaper scythe.
No,
and
so she just, when one fell swoop, mistakenly kills the girl.
But she does like a full like berserker attack.
She does. She goes Wolverine berserker rage. She's like schnick schnick, and she's just like, "Oh my god!" And the girl's dead. So I guess this sends her on this evil journey, but everything that comes after this, it seems like she's been prepared for, like, planning this.
Here's what confused me. Okay, so the plot summary on IMDb says, after several years in an insane asylum, Evelyn, the keeper of the Mountaintop Motel, is released and resumes doing business. She kills her young charge out of anger. Whoever wrote this is an idiot. but convinces the police it was an accident. And pushed into insanity, she then proceeds to target her guests. First by releasing vermin into the room. All right, that's enough. Wait, we're jumping ahead.
Is there any preface to her being in an insane
asylum? No, they never mention that at all, right? Did I miss that? Because I don't know when the cops like take her or do they even take her away? All I remember from the beginning is that the cops come to the scene and she's like, "Oh, she had an accident."
Right.
And her granddaughter's laying dead on the floor. So there was an accident in the garden. And then I feel like they just cut to guests arriving at the motel.
Yeah.
And they don't make it seem like there's any time that's lapsed. And I was like, wait, what's happening right now?
Yeah, and then there was the guy staying there who knows her.
Yes.
He knew her.
Right. The fat dude, right?
Fat dude. Yeah. The reverend.
Yeah.
Which, why is the reverend chilling out there? I mean, he seems like that there's a town and he could live somewhere.
Yeah.
Why is he...
This goes back to the thesis statement of there is no storyline in Mountaintop Motel Massacre.
Not a bit.
And I really... My personal opinion, I think, is what happened here is that whoever made this movie, Jim McCullough's or something other, Jim McCullough Sr., and his son wrote the movie. Jim McCullough Sr. directed the movie.
Wow, I want my dad to make a movie with me.
But I think they were really just capitalizing on the slasher craze of the 80s with the Friday the 13th and the Halloweens.
But they were
But those were good movies. I mean, decently good movies.
Yeah.
At least, like, watchable good movies.
Yeah, they were...
They had a little bit more scary of a villain than some crazy old wide-eyed lady who whimpers a lot throughout the movie. So yeah, that's the basic setup in the movie. First off, the title card, very nice dripping blood effect on when a Mount Massacre appears on screen. I was very impressed.
Half the budget right there.
Yeah, very much so. But yeah, I spent the first 15 minutes of the movie going, what the fuck am I watching? What is happening? There's no setup. There's no, like, you have that preface where with the granddaughter, but then you have no idea how it transitions into the next part of the movie. And then,
even before that, like, when the cops show up, it's actually really funny, when, like, the EMTs show up, and they're, you see this girl, she's clearly been dead for a while.
Yeah.
And they're doing mouth-to-mouth and CPR.
Oh, yeah!
I was like, not necessary. We could just cut this right out. You could just, I'm no doctor. I don't have an MD attached to my name, but I can see that little bitch is dead.
Like, I have a feeling Jim McCullough Sr., dad, was like...
Daddy Warbucks.
Daddy Warbuck, who's probably funning this whole shebang, was like, all right, do some EMT stuff. Do what you would normally do when you're an EMT
chest
arriving on
yes,
a scene.
Chest compressions.
When there's a corpse lying on the floor.
Her blue face, she's fine. She's decaying in front of her eyes. Clearly been dead for a while. And the sheriffs are looking at her like, I don't trust her. Well, no shit, she's the fucking suspect.
She's the only one there.
Only one there.
Out of the middle of buttfuck nowhere. Like, I mean, we would assume this place is in the middle of absolutely nowhere.
What's great is when she's pressed by the sheriff, the reverend steps in and is like, she's been through enough. And he's like, okay. And then he leaves, and he's like, well... Oh, I'm going to be... Oh, and he tells the reverend, I want to talk to you again. But he never comes back. So this woman, either, like, she knows her time is coming, so she decides to just fucking lose it.
And I'm sorry, if I'm that sheriff and the reverend says, like, she's gone through enough, I'd be like, with all due respect, go fuck yourself, preacher.
Yeah.
I have to do my job, and I have to question the suspect. Okay? Like, go back to, you know, worshiping God. Let me handle the police business, asshole. It's, yeah. One of my favorite dialogue interaction scenes in the whole movie had to be when Mr. Crenshaw, who's the black guy.
Love Mr. Crenshaw.
The most, like, racist name. Yeah, they're like, okay, so we're going to have a black guy in the movie. What's a good black guy name? Well, there's a lot of black people living Crenshaw in Los Angeles.
That's perfect.
But the first interaction between Crenshaw and the Reverend.
Yes.
And
I wish we had we could act it out. It basically like, oh, he's like, ooh, where can I get some food around here? And
he's like, this is a nice motel we're staying at. Like, it's like the most expositional force, like fake sounding.
Is there a diner around here I can get some food at? Nope, you're just eat with me. And he like shows like a can of beans and old crow. Yeah. And you're like, oh, fuck.
And so then these, like, bosom buddies are sitting in a room together, like, just chatting. And, yep. It was very, very bizarre. But I think we have to touch on Evelyn, that's her name, right?
Evelyn.
The crazy bitch's name is Evelyn. And so her method of attacking, before she starts going scythe crazy.
Right.
So she decides to set it up by... I'm going to, like, drop all these different vermin in the rooms.
If I may... Although this seems to be an act of passion, there are tunnels underneath all of the rooms. They're cabins, so they're self sufficient. You know, standing, they're like their own little bungalows.
Right, right.
So there's ways to get in and out of each one.
Right.
Now, mind you, it only costs $7 for this room.
What a deal!
So And I know, you know, inflation has been a bitch to us since 2012.
Sure.
But in 1986, I'm no expert. But if I am walking into a motel and it's $7, I am not thinking that's a good deal. I'm thinking this is a death fucking trap. I'm sorry, just from, you know, maybe for me. And to walk in and see, like, everything. It's just,
you know, that's just your big city mentality, I think, Jeffrey. So. I mean, you're just spoiled. You're just hoity-toity, you know, bourgeois elite. That, you know, in the country, $7, that's a damn fine deal.
We should do a roll call cast, because we need to just bang out who's in this movie.
Oh, yes, we do.
So we got Evelyn.
Evelyn, right. Crazy bitch Evelyn.
The Reverend.
Reverend Bill McWiley.
Okay. Crenshaw, Mr. Crenshaw.
Oh, my favorite character in the movie, Al. Al, the quote-unquote record executive.
Exactly. Which, I don't know if it's true or not, because there's no payoff. And I wish there was a payoff where we found out it wasn't true.
Yes.
But it's not.
No. Oh, he says he lied. He says to the girls he lied to him. Like, when shit starts hitting the fan, he's like, you know, I gotta be honest with you, I'm not really a record executive.
Oh, did he?
Yes, he did.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. It must have been when I nodded off only four times.
But let's get back to what encompasses Al as a human being. Now, when I was watching this, I thought, if this guy was the killer in a movie, I would totally buy it. Like, to me, he has serial killer, rapist written all over him. And I thought, if Evelyn hadn't been going around hacking people up, this fool was I seriously would have believed this fool was going to rape and murder these two women that he picks
Bill
up
Mitchell,
on.
I believe, was the actor. it's correct. A tour de force performance. I mean, every line is just dripping with intensity.
It is.
Or the antithesis of the intensity. I'm not sure which. I believe the latter.
I definitely think it definitely is one end of the spectrum or the other. But yes, I think definitely on the latter side of it. He does have a pretty sweet mustache, though. And he does know how to rock a sweater.
He does. And he has a cell phone, a mobile in 1986.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive.
I was very impressed by that.
There was one of his lines in the movie that was my favorite is when he's talking to these two girls. He picks up these two girls what are those broads' names?
Slut and whore.
I think that is their technical name. Well, it doesn't really matter what their names are. But they're stuck on the side of the road. It's pouring rain and they're wearing white t-shirts.
Oh.
So we get to see some
1986 boobies.
Some 1986 boobies, which, you know, I'm never gonna bat an eye at boobies. You know, you throw some boobies in a movie, I'm happy. But he tries to mac on these girls, right? He tries to play the big record executive. He lies, and which is already a red flag. This dude's lying. He already seems shady. He's like picking up girls on the side of the road in the middle of buttfuck nowhere. And then he's so rapey towards them.
Yes.
Like with all of his lines, he's like, "Hang on, baby, you talk too much."
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh God, let's just hurry up and get to the rape already." All right. And then he makes a comment about how the girls kind of look like cousins. Who's ever said that before? Who's ever gone like, "Oh yeah, you guys kind of look like cousins"?
Not sisters. He just jumped the sisters.
Yeah, it's like, okay, sisters, I can see you making that leap, but cousins?
You have a distant resemblance. You look like third or fourth cousins, twice removed. Perfect.
Yeah. And when the girls when they're in the car and they find out that he's a record executive, the girls, you know, go, "Oh, will you listen to us sing? We're real good." And he takes like a long pause and he goes, "We'll see." And then there's just this awkward moment afterwards where they're like, "Okay." So we're just driving down the road in silence now. Like, you know, you didn't want to hear me sing.
But then
so,
every time the girls bring it up, his response is, I'll listen to you all night. It's like, oh.
Again, very rapey.
I mean,
creepy.
You know, these girls are like, "Yeah, all night we'll sing."
And so the last tenants or guests at the Mountaintop Motel are the newlywed couple, right? We'll call them Mullet Joe or no Mullet Joanne,
Mullet Joanne and Mullet Joe,
Mullet Joanne and Mullet Joe. Also, Mullet Joe also has a pretty sweet mustache.
Yeah, man.
There's a lot of 80s stash to go around in this movie. But going back to Evelyn, so she very bizarrely pops up in everyone's rooms. And so in Mullet, Mr. and Mrs. Mullet, she drops a potato sack with a snake.
And granted, they may not get killed by it, but the girl and the guy, the husband and wife, and she's like, "What's this sack?" And he's like, "Oh, it's just an old sack. Throw it in the corner." How about outside? I don't need that. Yeah. I don't need the sack in where I'm staying.
Right.
And, you know, can't you feel a large fucking snake in there?
I thought about the same thing, but I kind of think that the snake had already crawled out at that point and was, like, hiding somewhere in the room. But I could be wrong. That irregardless, the fact that it, like, projectile jumps out and bites this dude in the face in his bed, and it's such, like, an odd choice where,
okay, how did
she's
know?
Crazy. But why wouldn't she just jump right to the scything? Like, why would you...
Yeah, like, what if that snake
was... Because then she goes in the reverend's room and she drops off a bunch of rats that he proceeds to swat, like, try to smash with his book.
Yeah.
Who tries to smash rats with a book.
But then he dies from the rats? I don't understand that.
No, no, he gets scythed, the reverend.
When did she come in?
She comes in.
Oh, okay, it's after she drops him off and they cut away.
Yeah, he gets his throat
slit. That's right, yeah, yeah.
And then poor Crenshaw gets really annoyed by a bunch of cockroaches. Yeah. Did you notice how, like, the vermin she drops off got progressively less threatening? Like, there's the poisonous snake, the rats, and then the cockroaches. Like, the cockroaches just kind of like, ugh. Yeah,
man.
Very, very odd choice. So, yeah, we touched on that you can audition all night in bed. what else was some ridiculous stuff in this movie?
Jesus. The entire. Film.
Yeah, the entire movie was...
Well, it's just needless. Every time she drops... Also, when she drops off each thing, there's, like, this horrible background type of, like to represent them, making noises or, like, creepy sound. And it's like just somebody, like, every time. It's the same fucking thing. And it just made me, like, ah. And there's no intensity in any of the deaths. So it's, like... listen, here, everyone out there in podcast world, this is the sound of when she kills somebody.
Yeah.
Wait. There you go. You hear the air?
I heard it.
That's it. That's all you get. That's it. And you're like, is there sound effects to go with the death? And it's always like after then they cut back and it's like, ah!
Yeah. It's pretty ridiculous. And it and then you couple that with the fact that the only other kind of like attempt at making creepy noises is that Evelyn tends to whimper a lot.
She's like, daughter!
Yeah. And that gets really fucking annoying during the movie as well. And then there's like the bendy guitar, like ding, 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 ding. It's like, oh my god. I'm sure that was Jim McCullough Sr. just strumming on his banjo and creating some sweet tunes. So yeah, that was
And the other girl, the cousin, one of the cousins, I should say, she...
Was that horror or slut? Which one was that?
I think it was slut.
Oh, okay.
She goes in the bathroom. When she gets slashed, I don't know why she died, personally. Because she just gets her face cut open, but then she's just...
Kind of like Joker style.
She just straight up dies from the cut in her face. And it's really, I mean, I don't think that you would die.
No,
maybe
yeah.
She had I think she had a heart condition.
Oh, okay. Well, now we've rationalized
all the loopholes and all the problems just closed. Perfect circle.
Now the movie makes complete and utter sense.
So the final battle, which is
you can't call it a battle.
It is quite the battle where
the sheriff
finally shows up after fucking hours of backtracking is.
Al calls
calls him, yes. You know, with his cell phone, and he's like, okay, we'll get there soon. But clearly they don't. There's right. No fucking rush.
Because he calls way early, because he calls after the snake
bite. And
he's
drinking in a bar, so...
Yeah. He's not busy. He doesn't really have anything going on.
There's nothing happening in this town. We obviously know that.
Right.
And so finally the battle happens in underneath the ground where she had all of her shit set up. And I don't remember if he dropped his gun or just lost it, but it's not in the fight. And so he has a problem. Him being, you know, a 60-something-year-old man... And come against this 60-something-year-old grandmother who probably has rheumatoid arthritis and God knows what other ailments.
Should have no problem taking this bitch down.
But man, they go to town. And what's even better, there really is no sound in this fight, I don't think. It's just like...
I think they forgot to like loop in some sound
There's
or
nothing.
Some. I think the Foley artist was out sick or something. That
just,
who am I kidding? There's no Foley artist in this movie. It's Jim McCullough Jr. That was his other role, was Foley artist on this movie. It is a ridiculous final climax. And, of course, just like any other 80s slasher movie, the killer who appears... Yeah, the sheriff goes to check to make sure that Evelyn is in fact dead after she's been sliced by her own scythe.
Ugh.
And she one last hurrah jumps out and chokes him, and it's now it's getting pathetic. Now I'm like sad for the sheriff. I was like, this woman's throat has been slit, and she's still letting her choke
you.
Yeah,
she's choking him.
You still can't restrain her. You're a police officer, sir. Get your shit together.
The movie isn't complete because then they're driving away, and then there's that flash quick of the little girl again
walking around outside.
And then it's like
never address it.
But she has the same makeup as the girl in the car. So I'm like, what the fuck does that even matter? Like, so she made her go what does that mean? Like, it's going to carry on now because she's got the crazy in her?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Is that I'm supposed to believe?
I guess, but they never established at all that was a thing that happened.
Going crazy does not make you worship Satan.
Yeah.
You're just crazy.
Oh, God.
I mean,
yeah. So I think we've talked.
That was too much.
Yeah. I'm a little exhausted.
I feel bad. We're sorry.
Yeah.
But
It is on streaming Netflix, so if you feel like torturing yourself this Halloween and want to watch a really, really bad 80s slasher movie,
please
pop in old Mountaintop Motel Massacre. So with that being said, that brings us to the final portion of the podcast, which is the Wheel of Misfortune.
Okay.
To see what we will be suffering.
whoa.
I'm so mentally exhausted from talking about that terrible movie. That
it's like punch drunk, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I've grown weary of the sound of my own voice.
All right.
So, all right. Well, give the wheel a spin. See what Nosley is. She's going to be very surprised to see what we're going to be watching next. Nazis at the center of the earth. Well, that sounds like that can't possibly be too bad, right? I mean, that sounds like
there's
that's
no alliteration in the title, so it can't be as bad as.
Let's give that a little tease. It actually is a new movie. It's our first new movie that we're going to be reviewing. 2012.
Oh shit!
It came out, and the cast includes one Jake Busey.
Oh, I'm already in.
And Dominique Swain, who kind of was kind of big for a cool minute in Lolita, and then she was kind of
in that one music video. Then that was it.
Yeah, but the basic premise is that researchers in Antarctica are abducted by a team of masked stormtroopers. They are dragged deep.
You're allowed to say stormtroopers? That's not trademarked.
No, because the stormtroopers. I think there was a section of the Nazis that were called stormtroopers.
Oh, yeah.
They're dragged deep underground to a hidden continent in the center of the earth where Nazis are inhabiting that cavern. Mm. So I think this could be, it got a 3.3 out of 10 on IMDb, which could be worse. That's all I'm saying. So stay tuned next week. Next podcast, we will be reviewing Nazis at the Center of the Earth. And with that, once again, if you want to email us, podcast@badmovienight.com, NITE. And follow us on Twitter @badmovienight.com. And you can also follow us on Facebook @facebook.com/badmovienight.com. And you can find all this information as well as oodles and oodles of other information at badmovienight.com. And with that being said, next time, Nosley will be back with us. God willing, if she survives her illness.
I feel like for spite, just because I think she needs to give her 2 cents in this film. Because I need to know how much it hurt her.
We'll ask her for a one-line review
during
the next podcast. We'll have to have her sum up everything about this movie into one soundbite.
Creamy nougat of suck.
So, as always, thank you for listening. And until next time.
Thanks, guys.
This is Aaron and Jeff signing off.
Later. Everybody's waiting for